Let us hear now a reading from the book of Micah, chapter 6. Hear now what the Lord is saying. Arise, and let the hills hear your voice, and the mountains hear the testimony of the Lord. For the Lord is pleading with Israel. O my people, what is it exactly I have done to you? How exactly have I wearied you? I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from slavery. I sent Moses and Aaron and Miriam. Remember what I did when Balak, king of Moab, wanted to curse you? When Balaam, the son of Beor, answered, didn't you know the righteous and faithful love of the Lord? So, with what shall I come before the Lord? With what shall I bow before the Most High God? Shall I come with burnt offerings? Shall I come with year-old calves? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn in exchange for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for my sins? Has not the Lord shown you what is good? Human, what does the Lord require of you? Do justice. Love, mercy, and faithfulness. Walk humbly with your God. The word of the Lord for us today. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we prepare to hear your word. And as we have just heard it, we ask that you would lead us to respond however you wish. And so let the words that come be yours, and may you produce in us what you desire for us. Let the words of our lips and the meditations of our hearts and the actions that we take be pleasing in your sight. Our rock and our redeemer, I pray. Amen. Over the last few weeks, we've been doing a series on Methodist distinctives. And Pastor Charles gave me the joy of discussing this distinctive today. For those of you who don't know me, I am a Bible coach, a pastor who has been tasked with training pastors. And I come from a variety of traditions, but one of the beauties of the Methodist tradition is this emphasis on justice. Wesley once proclaimed, "It is therefore expected that all who have a desire for salvation continue to show it by doing no harm and avoiding evil of every kind. Secondly, by doing good of every possible sort, and as far as possible to everyone. And thirdly, by attending to all the ordinances of God." Today, we get to discuss the first and second points, avoiding evil and doing good, because we have been in this series about Methodist distinctives, and there's one distinctive that is interwoven with them all, and that is justice. Now, when we talk about justice, we might have different views of what that word actually means. Some of us may think of the courts, where we're supposed to find justice, but sometimes we find, you know, this blind, deaf statue. Some of us may think of protests and going on strike when things are not just and fair. Some of us may think of businesses and corporations who need to be more ethical in order for justice to occur. Some of us may think of government, which has struggled to be just in dealing with both citizens and foreigners. And some of us may think of superheroes, a group who call themselves like the Justice League. For me, what comes to mind is something that happened with my youngest son a little while ago. We were talking and bemoaning how sometimes leaders just need some common sense. And we were like, sometimes the way they pursue justice doesn't make sense at all. To which my younger son, who was in the seat behind us, said, "Justice has sense. He brings money every day to lunch." It took me a moment to realize he was talking about his friend Justice, and he was talking about coins, not common sense. But it occurred to me when he shared this that these and other conversations about justice have led me to recognize we frequently like talk past each other when we're using the same word. We perceive justice differently, and therefore we struggle to get on the same page. And while all of the ways that I mentioned are valid in viewing justice, I think it is helpful to look at how God in the biblical texts depicts justice. In the Bible, justice is connected with faithful love. Faithful love. This is why in the passage we just heard, it references the Exodus. Because in Exodus, the reason God gives for why the people should be ethical and observe the instructions and laws God sets for them is because God was faithful to the covenant God made with their ancestors. And God lovingly brought them out of Egypt. God displayed faithful love to them. In Luke 18, there's a reason that justice comes to the widow in Jesus' parable. And it's because she was faithful in troubling the judge day after day after day to display love to her. To the point that he became weary of her cries for love and compassion. Even in Psalm 89:14, we get a synonymous parallelism in the poetry where righteousness and justice are set parallel with steadfast love and faithfulness. The connection between a faithful love can be seen throughout Old Testament and New Testament texts. But for the sake of time, we'll look at two. It might be beneficial to look at the the relationship between justice and faithful love in the books of Micah and Romans. Let's start with Micah. We heard the passage read this morning. Micah, as a part of the book of the 12, is like the other prophets in that book, calling for a reset, a restart in Israel's government and policies. The people of God had become way too focused on their own interests, and they neglected what God was calling them to do. This neglect spread from the north to the south, from Samaria to Jerusalem. For the USA today, that would be like saying from Portland to Miami. And the first few chapters describe it like a cancer that spreads from one part of the body to another. So pervasive was this cancer that it had spread to most of the towns in between, including Micah's hometown of Moresheth Gath, the Muncie of Israel. The sickness was real. But also real was the response that the Lord takes. In Micah 1 through 3, the Lord gets up from the Lord's throne and comes to each of the places infected by the cancer and causes the highest parts of the hill countries to melt away. Now, this is not the Lord coming as a judge. In fact, the Lord is not condemning, but rather testifying to what the Lord has seen. And the Lord says, I'm coming as a witness. And here's what I've witnessed. Here's the list. It includes idolatry, expressed intention to commit crimes, coveting, bullying, theft, abuse, lies, drunkenness, murder, bribery, disobedience. And those are only the ones in Micah 1 through 3. But in case you missed it, they had violated every single one of the Ten Commandments. And the entire time that they were doing these things, they were saying to themselves, we're not too bad. God will bless us. God bless us. Is not God on our side? God will protect us. All of these phrases occur in Micah and can be heard today too, honestly. But such assumptions are dangerous because they assume that God is seeing things from our point of view. That when we are locked in on something, God's locked in on it too. But God sees a bigger picture. God knew that God could not allow the cancer to continue spreading. And God knew that God could not allow the injustice to impact the powerless in their land, or it would spread to the whole world, and the whole world would be neglecting God's instructions. So what would the Lord do? What would justice look like for them? Would it look like strict punishment and destruction? Would it look like allowing them to prosper and blessing them? Would it look like denying them good? Or reaping on them what they sowed? What would it look like to have justice? Well, thankfully, the book of Micah declares that God's view of justice would not take any of these paths. Instead, God shared a plan to remove the cancer by doing two things. First, God would take those who were in positions of power and were unjust and remove them to an exile where they could contemplate what needed to change. An act of faithful love to them. But second, God would protect a group of powerless ones by putting a shepherd from the small town, the Selma, if you will, the small town of Bethlehem, under a shepherd who would care for them, showing faithful love to this minority group who were powerless. This is the justice. Such a plan for justice enabled God to keep God's covenant with Abraham and Sarah and their descendants. But also remove the cancer and the neglect for God's instructions. You see, God brings justice while remaining in faithful love to everyone involved. Faithful to the powerless, faithful to the unjust, faithful to the ancestors, faithful to the descendants. I mentioned Micah, but also this is how it occurs in Romans 2. A similar dynamic occurs as Paul. I mean, if we want to talk about injustice, just look at the life of Saul, who became Paul. He was unjust, and yet God displayed faithful love to him. And so when he's writing his letter to the Romans, I mean, look at the history of Rome and how unjust they were. You got Caesars who, and Senates, and I won't even mention the atrocities they do. And yet Paul describes in that letter a very different deity than the Romans had. They had lots of deities, but none like the Lord. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to give the unjust pagan Romans over to their desires. That was the anger God shows. Give them what they want, so they could experience the negative repercussions that came with them. And God allows the Gentiles, who are very unjust, to become righteous through faith and to make God's own people jealous, because God's own people were judging them and not doing what was right, and yet they see they have righteousness. How did that happen? They witness God's faithfulness and faithful love to these new believers. And by being faithful and loving the Gentiles, God is offering the same transformation to God's own people who had become unjust. In Romans chapter 13, Paul is going to say this is exactly what governments are for. You see, God gave the Romans a government. The intention was to discourage harmful behavior, to encourage justice. And whether it did it well or whether it didn't matter. Because either way, there would be a desire for justice. By seeing how the government did it, or by saying, hey, the government's not doing it. It doesn't matter. The Roman government wasn't always just, rarely. Yet, even in those moments, the people could desire justice and see God's justice in displaying faithful love. It doesn't matter whether we live in a government that is just or not. We can display faithful love. That is the message that Romans and Micah offer us. These are the important distinctives for Methodists today. The way to seek justice is through faithful love. Micah 6 says, what does the Lord require of us? Do justice, loving faithfulness, walking humbly with God. Romans 13 says, do you not realize love is the fulfillment of the laws? When we love someone faithfully, we are pursuing justice like God pursues it. That goes for the powerful and the powerless alike. Only when we faithfully love both types of people are we actively doing justice. So if you look at our world today, the oppressed minorities among us need to be shown faithful love. Those who are in the majority need to be shown faithful love. Those who are in positions of power need to be shown faithful love. Those who are not need to be shown faithful love. This is the distinctive we have been given from the very first Methodists, the Wesley family. John and Charles Wesley learned this from their parents, especially their mother. And they demonstrated this in many ways. One of the ways Charles demonstrated this recognition of what justice entails is by writing a song that has become a Christmas classic. Perhaps you know it. Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. It was written after he witnessed the harsh conditions at an orphanage in the United Kingdom. And he wanted it to change. So he wrote it, published it, to show faithful love to the orphans, to encourage them. He sang it. And he published it to encourage the leaders of the city to change it, change the system. And then both John and Charles took up offerings for the orphans, often more than what was taken up for the rest of the Methodist movement. Close to his death, John Wesley displayed faithful love in a letter that he wrote to William Wilberforce, in which he encouraged the lawmakers and the slaves alike to not be weary of well-doing. And I quote, go on in the name of God and in the power of his might till even American slavery, the vilest that has ever seen the sun, shall vanish away before it. This is the tradition, the distinctive, that remains within our church today, that sees that there is no holiness except social holiness, that sees how justice, true justice, is pursued only through faithful love. So for us today, what does this mean? It means we are called to show faithful love, to match the justice of God. If you're not sure what this looks like, there are wonderful examples, like in Proverbs, In Proverbs 1, it says, these are written so that you might have instructions for doing what is right, what is just, what is equitable. They give us insights into what faithful love includes. Another place to go would be the Gospels, where Jesus aims to help the powerless, the foreigners, while simultaneously helping the powerful and the citizens. He speaks to those oppressed by the religious and political leaders while speaking to the religious political leaders as well. And lastly, we can ask the Holy Spirit. We can ask the Holy Spirit, where might we show faithful love today? Think about it. Who in your life might be the suffering ones who need to be protected through faithful love? Pursue that for them. But also think about who might be the powerful ones who could show faithful love but are not. Show them faithful love. To one group, you need the faithful love of protection. To the other group, you need the instilling of faithful love within them. That's the biblical way. And that's the way God is inviting us today to show justice. Amen? This is what true friendship looks like, is pursuing justice in these ways. And I'm thankful that we have a friend in Jesus who does this. Would you join with me in singing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus? Let's stand and sing together, as you are able. Receive now the benediction. What is it, human, that the Lord requires of you today? Do justice, love faithfulness, and walk humbly with your God as those who are called to do this in our lives today. Let us go in the Spirit of our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Holy Spirit equip us as we do. Amen.